Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know what's waiting on me in the future. I just don't know. I don't know what I'll be doing 10 years from now. I just don't know. But I believe that teaching God's holy word. Oh, it's in my heart. Sometimes my burdens get so heavy that I can't stop having sleepless nights and lonely days. But I believe if I keep holding on, God is gonna comfort me and keep me strong. 'Cause it's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Yes, it is. Way down on the inside,
in my heart,
oh Lord, God planted His love,
in my
heart, yes He did,
He
put it down in my heart,
in my heart,
come on baby,
listen,
now I've been singing for a long, long time, I'm not gonna give up, said I got a made up mind, yeah. I've been lied on, mistreated by my so-called friends. But if I had another chance, I'd do it all again. It's in my heart.
In my heart.
Oh, yeah.
It's in my heart.
It's got it down in my heart. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute.
Father,
Father,
I
just want you to know I'm not doing this for shape, form, or fashion. I just want you to know it's down in my heart. The reason I'm here tonight. 'Cause it's in my heart, and I want you to know. I want you to know. Mama and Daddy, when I was a little boy, Mama and Daddy raised us up in the church. They didn't send us to church; they took us to church. Can I get a witness out there? And if we got to the church house and act like we didn't want to go in, Mama would catch me in the collar and she'd drug. Mama and Daddy drug us to church house. I wish I had a witness out there and had planted it in my heart. Oh, yeah. Good Lord. It's in my heart. Many times we didn't get paid, y'all, but I kept on singing anyway because I had it in my heart. Can I get a one witness? Can I get a one witness? Deep down in my heart, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, well, wait a minute, I'm not through yet. Y'all act like y'all don't know what we're doing up here. You got it?
In my heart.
Oh, yeah.
In my heart.
somebody asked me just the other day, say, "Harvey, how can you shake a person's hand and you know they don't like you?" I told him, the reason I do it is in my heart. I got a phone call not too long ago. Somebody said, "Harvey, how can you leave your family and go sing all the time?" I told him, "I love my family.
Oh yeah.
I love my family.
Yes, I do.
I love my family.
Oh, my.
But the reason I'm doing it,
the reason I'm doing it,
because it's in my heart. I got to love my enemies.
Yes, yes.
I got to love my friends. And whenever you see me, I'll be serving the Lord.
Welcome to Eagles in Flight Fellowship. I'm Apostle Marcus Dupree, and this is Father Celine Dupree as well. Amen, and we bring you greetings tonight, amen, and from Eagles Wings International Ministries, Church With and Without Walls. Amen, we thank God for each and every one of you, and amen, we thank God for being back with the Lord tonight, amen. We want to thank God for what he's about to do in this hour, and we thank the Lord for just his leading tonight, amen, as we're coming to start on the line tonight, amen. We also want, just while we're at it, we want to just tell everyone who desires to call in or have a question, anything, you're welcome to call in. That, or just want to listen on computer or anything like that, you can call in. The number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416, and press 1 to get in the question box. You may have a comment or question, you're definitely welcome to call in and share that with us tonight. Amen. Tonight, let's get ready to pray, and we're going to get into the Word of God. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We give you praise, honor, and glory. This is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for your wisdom, for your journey, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, for just helping us as we go forward right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy, which is better than life. We thank you, Lord God, as we continue to go in tonight. We thank you for wisdom. In Jesus' name, as we receive it, Lord God, by faith, we thank you right now for giving us clarity and understanding in Jesus' name. Thank you for doing all things with us and through us in Jesus' name. We thank you for favor, Lord God. We thank you right now for in this hour that you placed us here and you caused us to triumph. And we thank you, Lord God, for your word in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you that your word may satisfy our hunger, satisfy the hunger of those who are seeking for righteousness, Lord God. Let them be filled. Let them even quench their thirst in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you. We show you, we give you praise, glory, and honor. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we want to turn to Numbers chapter 13. We'll start at verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun of Jehoshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Go ye up this way southward, and go up into the mountains, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good land or bad land, or within cities, in what cities they are, that they dwell in there, whether in tents or in strongholds, what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether they are would therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was time Now the time was the time of the first fruit, first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land in from the wilderness of Zin and Rahab, and also, as men come to him, and then they ascended by the south and came into Hebron, wherein Amen and Shisha and Talmea, the children of the Anak, were. Okay, we're going to skip down to verse 29. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea. Dwell in the sea by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with them said, "Be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we have gone to research it is a land that eateth of the inhabitants therein, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Read that verse again. "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Amen. I want to talk to you tonight the tragedy of stinking thinking. Proverbs chapter 23:7, and we will come right back to Numbers, but I just want to point this one verse of scripture out. Proverbs 23:7. Very familiar scripture. I want you to see it and understand it. Okay, it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, said he unto thee, but his heart is not with thee. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Now, if we are not careful the way we think or the way our mindset is, we can pollute our own blessings. We can pollute our own good things that happen in our life. We can pollute our own thing with bad things, in our life with bad things. Even on that note, Job 3:25 points out another key verse. "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and the thing that which I was afraid of come unto me." Sometimes we are living our life because of how we think. The fruit of the way we think manifests in the life that we live. If you think small of yourself, your life will result small. You live a very safe life, no chance taken, very conservative life, to where you know, if God said you could have 20, you go with 5 instead, just because you don't want to stretch too far there, and you don't want to believe. Because sometimes what happens is, because of what we think, it could hinder our growth in so many different ways. it can stunt our growth. Let me say that it can stunt our growth because of the way we think, because of how we reason in our mind, how we process things in our mind. It could actually work against us, it cause us to, we can actually sabotage our own life by the way we think. Now, here we see the situation. Here we see where Moses asked these men to go spy the land. And they went forth to spy the land, and they did that. And we see here, as we look down some, verse 20 says, what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of first ripe grapes. So at the time that Moses sent them there, they came at a time of the time where the fruit was show strong. You would see, you know, you would see what kind of, it was in the right season to where you would actually get to see this the fruit of that land. You would begin to see what the land could do on its own. So as Moses sent them forward, he sent them for to test the land, see what's going on, if the land is good or not. Amen. And as we see here, verse 23, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. They bear it between two upon a staff, and they brought the pomegranates and the figs. Now, we see here that these grapes were huge. They had a staff between two men, and they actually had the clusters of grapes on the staff. That's some monster fruit. But the fact of the matter is, the land was productive. The land was fruitful. The land was it was able to bring forth. But sometimes in our mind, even though we have the potential for growth, we have the potential for fruit, good fruit, sometimes we can pollute or hinder our own selves by what we allow to come out of us, what we're thinking, how we think, our processes, the way we reason. It can actually work against what God wants to do. In this way here, we see where their mindset was working against the fruit that God was bringing forth. Even though God has the evidence of fruit of the inner, the evidence is fruit, it was still hard for them to receive that, even though the evidence was there of the presence of God, and as far as the evidence was there was productivity and growth. They still could not receive and understand that this is some serious fruit that's here. So as they begin to bring back the evidence of the fruit, they're bringing back the evidence of the fruit, but it still doesn't really register to them like the way it needs to. There's still a doubtful pertains to the mission that the Lord was giving to them.
What happens is the enemy brings in the distraction. Although you are seeing what God wants you to see, he brings in side distractions to get your mind off of, to get your heart off of what it is he's actually showing you. In this scripture, the Lord clearly shows them the blessing in that land. He clearly showed them that that's what he wanted them to have. But instead of them focusing on the God factor, the enemy distracted them by showing them something else. And instead of keeping their minds on what was supposed to be, they turned to what the enemy wanted them to see. And that's something that we do a lot of times just in this world system. You know, and the enemy will use the things of this world system. He uses our weaknesses. He uses those things that we're inadequate in. He uses those things that we may not think that we're as good as someone else. And he uses those things against us to get us distracted from what God really wants us to see. It was the same thing that happened to Peter. Jesus told him to come out on the water, and he did. He saw himself walking on water. But the enemy threw up a distraction that instead of continuously keeping his eyes on Jesus and what the Lord wanted him to see, attention and focusing on the God factor, he paid attention to those things that was in a natural. And that's what the enemy uses. He uses those natural things because let's think about it. If we could, have you ever been in a church service or even on a conference call and you know the anointing of God is present, the Spirit of the Lord is there, you and the congregation and everybody, you are corporately worshiping God, and you're just there in the clouds of the Holy Spirit. You're not thinking about your husband. You're not thinking about your children. You're not thinking about your wife. You're just centered and focusing on Jesus. You're not thinking about your best friend, your fiance, your boyfriend, no one. You're just centered on Jesus. And sometimes when we get in that moment and we're praying in the Spirit and the Spirit of the Lord comes in and the anointing falls and we got people falling in the Spirit, we got people having visions, we got people just, oh my gosh, it's all going on in the service. And you just don't want to leave that place. So let's think about it. If we could just literally be in the Spirit all the time, we'd probably be okay because the care, when you're in that moment, the cares of this life do not matter. You're not thinking about what's for dinner later. You're not thinking about going to work. You're not thinking about what's going on with your car outside and that you locked your keys in just before you walked into church. You're not thinking about anything like that. You're focused on the presence of the Lord, and you want to stay in his glory, and you want to stay in his presence. And if we really think about it, if we could stay in that place, we'd be okay. But the enemy knows we have to live in this world system. We got to come out of the clouds for, you know, to take care of earthly things, to take care of our life. And so he uses the natural realm to distract us. And that's what he did to the people here. They saw the fruit. They saw the abundance. They saw where God wanted them to be. But the natural things, the giants, the natural things distracted them, their eyes off of the promise. So our job is to make sure we're keeping our eyes on the promises of God and we're keeping our focus on the promises of God. Most of the time when we mess up as Christians, it entered in as a thought. You just didn't do it. It came into your mind as a thought first. Something in your mind, the enemy planted some type of seed in your mind, and you either are going to A, water that seed and mess up, or B, you're going to cast the seed down and continue to walk in the Spirit.
Amen. When we come to some special, well, certain situations, it's going to come down to a matter of choice. And we have to make the right choice, you know, when it comes down to that. Because sometimes we only have one shot. And being that we have that one shot to get some things right, we want to make sure that we get everything done. And you know, when you talk about, when you think about how they were able to have those fruit coming in, and they had tangible evidence of the land. Sometimes you can have tangible evidence of a truth or a matter about something. But some people, when they choose to believe a lie instead of the truth, they're trying to be fully convinced, fully persuaded. But we thank God for humility. And allowing his people to come forth and bring forth the report, but then the ones who had the negative report, which was really working against what Joshua and Caleb was trying to proclaim to do, but telling them they were able to go forward. But sometimes because of the way people thinking is when they're connected to you, it can actually drain you more than help you. And if you look at some things with, you know, people would do just to pull for attention, just to do this thing and that thing, and it's really sad because people are going through what we call identity crisis. And they don't realize that when they're talking about living and doing what God has called you to do, you're supposed to believe God's report. Amen. All right. So as we go going on further here, we're going to look at another thing I was going to say, too, and you see here with the enemy, he begins to set you up because the battle is in the mind, and so he's going to try and set you up for like sabotage, trying to cause you not to prosper, trying to cause you not to progress on in the things that God's called you to do. That's why sometimes it's easier for people to believe a lie than the truth. The truth is what's going to sustain you. It takes a little more because just for the fact of what God is doing in your life, you want to make sure that you believe God. You want to make sure you take God at His word. You want to make sure that you you're receiving from Him, and you can go forth and do what He's called you to do. Many times the enemy wants to sift you as wheat, but we know the Lord prayed for us, so amen. So our faith failed not. So when it comes down to having stinking thinking, we got to remember the way we, you know, what we feed, we are what we eat. We are what we eat. When it comes to down to our faith, what you put in is going to be what you get out. If you have a bunch of negativity that you're close to, and that's all you have to feed on, what it's going to be, that's what's going to come out of you, a bunch of foolishness. But if you eliminate the drama in your life like that, amen, and just settle things and trust God for what He's going to do, you will find a life that's going to be more fruitful. It's going to be more positive because the more ones you, as you clear up your thinking, as you begin to see as God's seeing, you will be quick to believe God for what His word says about your life. Amen. Because if you can really take a glimpse at what God is going to do in your life, you will be surprised at how much God really loves you. But amen, there's no question that He loves you. But amen, you want to have some tangible evidence of His love. Amen. And you don't need to worship the gifts. But we need to worship the gift giver. Amen. We need to worship the Lord. So as we go on further, we're just going to look at verse. Sorry, wrong. Yes, let's go back to Numbers. Numbers 13. Amen. Okay. Now, so here it is. They see the clusters. They see the grapes. Amen. And they're going for, they have the evidence. Now, because they have the evidence, this should be enough for you to know, okay, if you have evidence of something, then you should be able to believe that. You should be able to put your faith on that, and you should be able to see what God is saying in your life. This is the time of season that we need to know the fruit that we're bearing, the fruit that God is bringing forth into our life. We need to know how to connect with the manifestation or the fruit that God is presenting to us. Amen. The enemy will come with all kinds of reasons not to believe, and you have to choose in your heart and mind to believe God and take Him at His word. This is not the time of season to be doubtful in your faith. This is not the time to be wavering in your faith. And here, clearly, they had clear evidence of what God is doing, what God has promised, what came to pass, but yet, because of the way they were thinking, you see where the enemy will bring forth a negative report. And here we see at verse 30. And Caleb sealed the people. So the people were upset. They were, at first when they brought the fruit, they were like, okay. But then it began, then the other, out of the 10 spies, it was 8 spies who began to speak. Yeah, and say, yeah, okay, it is flowing with, you know, with milk and honey. This is flowing with the fruit and everything. But there are giants in the land. Some people can't get past the giants in your life. Some of you can't get past the giants in your life. You have to begin to see past the giants. Giants are going to be there, you know, in your situation. As far as there will be certain things that are going to pop up, it will be a giant in your life. You have to not only be able to take out those giants, but even also look at being able to see beyond the giants, knowing that you're going in a way or a place where God is going to bless you tremendously. You have to know that no matter how the enemy tries to come in, He's going to try and bring a doubt. He's going to try and bring something to you to cause you to fall off track or get you discouraged and want to quit. He's going to try you. He is going to try you. And we have to understand, stinking thinking will not move the hand of God. Stinking thinking is actually carnal thinking. It stinks in God's nostrils because it's not. It does. The carnal man can do nothing, can not please God. Amen. So it's stinking thinking because God does not like the smell of flesh trying to be on parade. He does not like the smell of flesh trying to be puffed up and trying to do his own thing. But we have to understand, when it comes down to it, we have to understand God wants us to deliver from stinking thinking. He wants us to have a healthy mindset, a healthy way of looking at things to where it's going to help and not hurt you. Sometimes because of the way you think, you are hurting yourself more than you hurt others. Amen.
What we fail to realize is that God cannot do any more than we allow him to do in our life. He gives us the power of choice. You know, he can dash on you all the oil until you slide out of your city. He can anoint you with all the power and all the glory and all of that stuff. But if we don't make the choices to do what is right and to utilize the things that he's given us, then it will not have any effect in our lives. You see, because even as an anointed man or woman of God, which we all are, we are all his anointed vessels. You don't have to hold a title to be God's anointed people. We all are his anointed vessels. As his anointed vessels, there is a power of choice that we have. And those choices, the anointing that's upon you is not just for those people that you lay hands on or those people that you win to Christ or those people that minister. We as born-again believers have to utilize that word for ourselves. And so how does it look for us to tell others, you know, be encouraged, be strong, use the word of God, stand in faith, make your confessions. And then when we look in our own selves, when we look in a mirror and see our own reflections, we're not doing the very things that we're telling others to do. And sometimes we find ourselves in that position for whatever reason. You know, you find yourself encouraging others and you're discouraged. You find yourself standing in faith with others, but you're faithless, because you can't constantly deplete yourself and not fill yourself back up. And so you can't tell other people to watch what they say and watch what they think, and then you think anything and you say anything. You become a garbage can for the enemy, and he dumps every bit of trash that you will allow him to dump on you. That's how Christians fall in depression. That's how Christians fall into sin, because you allow the enemy to constantly dump his garbage onto you, garbage from the outside in. He constantly dumps garbage onto you. And then when you're ready, when it's time for you to be in a battle, in a fight, you're weighted. You're weighted with unnecessary garbage. You can't run the race. You can't fight the fight. You can't lift up a sword. You have so much junk on you that's weighing you down until it's like you're faithless, you're powerless. Because it feels as if the enemy has placed on you a ton of bricks. And now God says, charge, it's time to go to war, and you can't move. Because we have to be on a constant filtering of the enemy. You know, just don't let a day go by. Don't let a moment go by. When he brings negative thoughts to your mind, you have to pull yourself out of it and stand up. And cast down those thoughts, cast down those imaginations, because all of those things are trying to exalt itself above the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the fact that you are an overcomer, the knowledge of the fact that you're greater as he that is in you than he that is in the world, the knowledge of the fact that God has placed you above only and not beneath, the knowledge of the fact that you are bold as lions and that you can go forth in the name of Jesus. All of anything that tries to come upon you or enter into your mindset or your thinking that is against what we know the truth of God's word is, because, see, the enemy will also try to boggle us down with facts, because, you know, we hear facts all the time, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's truth. Facts and truth are two different things. Yes, the fact is you may be sniffling, but the truth is that by his stripes you are healed. And so it is also up to us as believers to understand and know how to filter those factual things from those truth-filled things. Watch your conversation. All of these things, because when your ears hear it, it goes into your thought process. All those things we have to constantly filter out so that we don't allow it to go into our hearts, to be planted as a seed and begin to develop and grow, because that's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants negative things to enter in, be watered by more negative things, begin to grow by more negative things, and before you know it, you have a garden full of just negativity, a garden full of doubt, a garden full of depression, a garden full of anything that the enemy just felt like dumping on you. And so in what the enemy makes it seem like, this is a garden because this is just how you are and this is your personality and I don't take no stuff, but you allow the enemy to dump on you. You know, you're upset one minute, you're depressed another, you're happy another. I mean, he has your emotions up and down. I mean, you're just a ball of mess. And he paints a negative picture, making you think that it's this beautiful garden, then, and you know, it's okay, you'll be all right, when actuality, from God's eye view, when he looks at you, he sees weeds. You're not a garden for anyone. You become a dumping ground, a trash lot, a, you know, where's the place that they take the garbage to the place up here, hon? The waste management, the landfill. You become a landfill for the enemy. That's basically, you become a landfill for him, and he's putting all this stuff on you. And guess what? You're allowing it to happen. It's not something that's being made upon you. You're allowing it to happen because God has given you 66 books of word. You don't even need to hear a word from no prophet. He's given you 66 books of word to encourage you and to help you grow. He's given us a roadmap in that same book. He's given us answers to questions in that same big old book. And instead of us opening it and praying and speaking to God about situations and casting down the lies of the devil, we just sit there and we receive it and we get fat on his ignorance. We get fat on her ugliness and we just allow it to infiltrate our bodies, and we can't even function after that. And so God is leaving the responsibility up to you, because he cannot function the way he wants to in this world system unless he has a child of God petitioning him to come and do what he's supposed to do. There's a certain amount that he's limited to because of how this world system is, because of man giving up this world. We have to make sure that we're constantly bringing God in on this earth, and that's through us. That's through it. He comes in through us. And if we're not functioning and doing our part to cast the devil down and cast the devil out, then it's not going to happen in your life. You'll see it flourishing in somebody else's life, and you'll wonder, why is that Susan? She always seems to be doing all right. Or why is that brother? He always seems to be on fire. Man, it just seems like my life is just, it's how do you think? How do you see yourself? You know, you ever saw a confident, a very overly confident, ugly brother? I'm not being, like, mean, but seriously, there are some brothers out there that they're nice guys, but, you know, they wouldn't be put on your fit mat as a very handsome young man. But they are so confident. Oh, they will approach any woman. They will ask any woman out on a date. They have no idea that they don't look as handsome as some other guy, because it's how they have pictured themselves and thought of themselves. They have decided that it doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. I'm a good guy. I'm a nice-looking guy. I take care of my women or whatever. So it's how they thought. As a man thinketh, so is he. They think that they're in the same category as the most handsome-looking brothers in the world, and nothing stops them from approaching any woman, any person that they feel that they would like to date, because of their confidence. And many women are attracted to them not because they're handsome. It's because they're confident in who they are. No matter what anybody thinks, they know how they think of themselves. And see, as believers, we have to get that way about God and him on the inside of us and the anointing that's on the inside of us. No, I might not do it the same way that she does it, but I'm a born-again believer too. And if God says I can have it, then that's what's going to happen. If he says I can do it, then that's what's going to happen. No, I didn't make all A's in school, and no, I might not have that particular degree, but the Lord told me to go for that job, and I don't care what they say on the qualifications. If God told me to go for that job, then that's the one I'm going for, and that's the one he's going to give me. But instead, sometimes we'll take the negative, I don't know, God. That's kind of far-fetched, God, okay? You know who you're talking to. You know, I only stopped at 12th grade. You know who you're talking to, God? You know who you're telling to do that? I remember listening to a preacher one time, and I can't even remember what it was that the Lord told him to do. But the Lord gave him some instructions about something to do in a particular area. And he said to God, he said, you telling me that, God? And the Lord said, yes, I'm telling you to do this particular thing. He said, now, God, let me just tell you something. He said, you do realize I'm a black man. And the Lord said, and so what? I told you to do that. See, we put stipulations on ourselves based on our physical, based on our mental or whatever, and God doesn't even see any of that. So whatever it was, the Lord had asked him to do, it was not typical of a black man to do it. And so he felt it necessary to remind God that he was a black man. That was irrelevant to God because God didn't see him as a black man. He saw him as an available vessel. And so none of that really mattered. So there are things that God has for you and places he wants you to go and things that he wants you to do, and we're putting limitations on ourselves based on what we think of ourselves, and none of that matters to God. It didn't matter to God how Moses could talk. It really didn't matter. And every time Moses brought something up about his frailties, God always combated it with something. It was like, okay, I'll have him do this for you. But, Lord, okay, and I'll have this person do that for you. It was like he was tearing down every single excuse because God doesn't, he's not going to move on our excuses. He just wants the job done. He just wants the work accomplished. He just wants the harvest to come in. The excuses and things that we come up with, it's irrelevant to the Father. And so you have to think about that. What is it that God has before you? Where is it that God told you that you could conquer? What is it that he said you could do? And you're holding back because of what you think your limitations are and your mindset of yourself is. Remember, God's not looking at any of that. He knows who you are, and he knows he lives on the inside of you, and he knows that the anointing and the power of God is greater on the inside of you than anything on this outside realm. And that's what he's wanting you to rely on. He's not expecting you to go out there and do anything of yourself. These men didn't have to go out there and do anything of themselves. When they saw that land and the grapes and the fruit and the abundance, God didn't expect them to go do that on their own. He knew that they physically, it was a difference. God is not crazy. He knows there's a difference. But he's admonishing us that if we will just strictly rely on him, change our thinking to his thoughts and his ways, making sure that we put on the mind of Christ. Think about it. When Christ was on earth, I don't remember ever Jesus doubting any move that he made because he knew that the Father was going to be working through him. There was never a doubt in his mind that the Father was going to work through him. He wasn't going to do those things on his own. And he was doing what the Father said to do. So you see, if the Lord is telling you to do something or go forth in some type of manner, he's already backing you up with the anointing and the dunamis power to get it done. You just have to move. But the more we hold back, the more we sit back, the more we are timid, the more we are afraid, the more that we are reserved to do, then we won't see the manifestation of the Father. And before you know it, that anointing has diminished because you've decided that you're not going to do it because of how you think of yourself and what you think of yourself. And it's not God's picture. That's your picture.
Amen. Amen. As I go back to verse 26, the last part of it, and it was saying that to Kadesh, and brought back the word to them and all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. So once again, we have to look, we have to begin to realize that God oftentimes are setting us up for promotion, setting us up to excel. You know, He always has our good, you know, our best intention. He has our best interest at heart. God never will have you do something that's going to hurt you, or is going to come against you, or is going to cause you to fail. His intention is always for you to receive and achieve whatever it is before you. So, okay, verse 27 says, and they told him, saying, we came into the land where thou sendest, and surely it flowed with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Okay, this just showed him what the report was. It was right. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities were walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now, God does not mind you being the underdog. He doesn't mind going against the grain. He doesn't mind going against all odds. God specializes in those situations. This is why we have to keep in mind in our hearts that we got to remember and know that this did not surprise God. God knew these giants were in the land. And sometimes you're going to have to go into places where there will be giants in the land, or, you know, there will be some big things going on that, you know, you can get consumed in this thing, because the fact of the matter is, when God sets you up, you know, when He sets you up to bless you, His thoughts and intentions always to bring out the best in you and cause you to be successful. So this is why we have to keep in mind when God allows some things to happen in our lives, where He allows the giants in the land, He makes a lot of opposition, whatever. Remember, God specializes in this. God is not, you know, He's not moved. He's not going to back down from this. We have to remember who we are in Christ. Knowing your identity is so important, because you will begin to feed into the condemnation. You will begin to feed into the persuasion. And you begin to fall into these deeper things, these different kind of abyss, because of, like, depression or all kind of stuff like that, because of the fact of the matter is you begin to buy into the lie that the enemy has given to you. He is the father of lies. When we remember that, God, you know, God, he wants us to be clear. He wants us to be confident. He wants us to be the walk upright. He don't want us to be jellybacks as Christians. He wants to be confident and bold about who we are and bold about Christ. It's going to take that in order for us to be successful in life. We can't go through life thinking that we are nothing. And we're no special. Every person that God made is special in their own way. But amen, amen. As we see here, okay, let's go down to verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people in before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. Caleb saw enough. He saw enough to where he was fully convinced, fully persuaded they were able to go forth and achieve this victory. This is why it's very important who you have surrounding you. You need to make sure that you have people who are speaking life in you, people who are speaking positive, people who are a good report. But see, when we have all kinds of people in our lives that's all Don Thomases and they don't think well, you know, they might have a nice house or a nice car, but their thinking is not right. And they use money and use cars and stuff like that to get to people, because they know you're thirsty for it. He knows you want it. This is why we have to stand our ground as believers. We have to know who we are, and not only that, go against all odds. You know, sometimes we have to be the only one standing, or then some stand. Okay, so verse 31, but the men that went up with him, we be not able to go forth, but go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. All right, and they brought up all and brought an evil report of the land which they had searched into. They had searched into the children of Israel, saying, "The land that which we have got, we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature." We have to stop being letting the enemy intimidate us out of our blessings, intimidating us from where he wants us to be. Amen. God wants us to be in the place he's positioned us. But we sometimes allow people, they allow to talk, some people talk so loud, but they're not even saying anything worth listening to. Sometimes people shoot so fast without thinking until they did the damage. Sometimes some people are so intimidated, they don't want to speak up at all. They just miss the whole boat. We have to make sure that our mindset is different. We can't allow stinking thinking in the kingdom, because stinking thinking is a poverty mentality. A poverty mentality is full of fear, because a poverty mentality is fear of walking out, for fear of quitting, fear of ending up not doing it because someone else may seem to have an advantage. But even though God gave you a greater advantage because he's in you, amen, we have to realize how important we are to God. So just to encourage you, even with that, as we see here, truly the inhabitants of great stature. Verse 33, we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our sight. Now this is very important here. They were saying, in their sight, we were as grasshoppers. Who told you that? Who whispered that into your ear to where you believe that you are no one? You are no one special. You don't deserve to be happy. Nobody wants you. You're just nothing. Who told you that? You must understand that you are a royal, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. God gave you his best because you deserve the best. Why? Because of Jesus. And you have to believe that in order for it to come to pass. You have to believe that in order for your heart to be quickened and just to go forth and do what God said you did. Glory to God. We have to know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that God has called us to be who he's called us to be, and that we're walking in that place as well. We can't be in fear and expect faith to operate. So here it is, we see, he said, in our sight we're as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. See, you make the enemy's job so easy. This is why he plants seeds of sabotage into our lives. He tried to set us up by thinking on those things like that, and then played and he tries to cause us to go back into a shell because he don't want us to stand. So, amen. So, just be encouraged and know and look. You are not a grasshopper. Stop comparing yourself to another. First of all, which is not wise. And stop letting people label you. And most of all, don't label yourself. We have to remember, you are a chosen people. God has called you to do what he does best. But once again, we have to understand, if someone who's on the line, amen, you're welcome to call in. We have some question, comment. Okay.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Yes, I called in, but the gentleman told me to wait. I had called in for prayer.
Okay. What do you need for prayer?
I just wanted prayer for direction and prayer about my living situation.
You see your business situation?
No, sir, my living situation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and we'll pray for you in just one moment. Just, I want to share this one last scripture
with you
all. When the enemy comes in your thought process, you can always judge that thought to make sure that it's, you know, to make sure. We usually can tell when it's a thought from the enemy. But Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." And so if it's not any of those things, you know. You say, "Well, I'm not sure. Does it have a good report?" If it's not something of good report, even if you couldn't tell with all those other things, if it's not something that's given a good report, don't think about it. These are the things that you should be thinking about. Lovely, pure, good report, just, that's what we should be thinking about. And so you find yourself thinking on things that are opposite of what the scripture says in Philippians 4:8, you need to stop that thing and end it, you know, cast it down in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so you see any prayer for your living situation, and what was the other thing? Direction?
Yes, sir. Are you speaking
to me? Right. Yes, we're speaking to you. Amen. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, as we lift our sister up to you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for giving her direction, Lord God. Thank you that you said we acknowledge you in all our ways. You shall direct our paths. We thank you for giving her direction of where to go, what to do, or how to do it in Jesus' name. Even, Father, even for us who to connect with to get some things done. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord God, for protecting her from the wolves. Lord God, and even the wolves and sheep, in Jesus' name, Lord God, thank you for exposing truth. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord God, that she would have clarity and understanding of what she would have her to do. Thank you for her going forward. In the name of Jesus, she will go forward. She will go forward with no fear, no doubting, but she will go forward bold and courageous as a lion. And we thank you right now that, Lord, she will embrace her moment, her time, in Jesus' name, even for us work things up for her job. And we thank you right now for giving her favor like never before, in Jesus' name. Thank you for blowing even her mind towards some things that you desire to do or some things that you put in motion, in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you for your favor that rests upon her right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Even with her body, that things should line up with the Word of God. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the purpose and the plan of God to come forth out of her life. And we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, for even working out her living situation, Lord God. Thank you for working that out right now. Thank you for helping her to get on her own. Thank you for the right people being connected at the right time in her life, in Jesus' name, to bring the right results. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for who you called her to be, that she will walk according to your steps, according to your word. It says the steps of the righteous man are ordered by you. So we thank you for instruction, even for direction, even for clarity in this hour, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. And we thank you right now for working on a situation at home, showing her we would have her to go in order to get the right assistance, right help, to get her feet, to get done what needs to be done. In the name of Jesus, I bind oppression, I bind depression in Jesus' name. I command to loose her, leave her now in Jesus' name. Thank you for victory, is released victory, faith, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, hallelujah, amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Anyone else? We'll about to get on off this line. But amen. We thank God for each and every one for listening tonight. And just once again, it's a tragedy. Just thinking. You know, amen. This is not the time or season in your life to allow this kind of thinking to plague you and cause you to stop growing or stop producing. And for God, God wants you to be a productive citizen. He wants you to be the world. He wants you to go for the fruit. So once again, be encouraged and know that God loves you Amen. Thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you for going to also extend your welcome to join us on Tuesday night, Eagles Wings line, 843-619-0410. And that same line, Sundays at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Once again, amen. Someone has a question.
Yes. Prayer for sanctification, seeking for the Holy Ghost, and stay safe. Prayer for that, please.
Okay, could you repeat that? You sound kind of low. Say that again.
I'm praying. I need to have prayer for seeking for the Holy Ghost, but first get seeking for the sanctification, the Holy Ghost, and to stay safe. Can I have prayer for that, please?
So you pray for the Holy Ghost?
Huh?
You said you're praying for the Holy Ghost?
No. Okay, I need prayer for seeking for the Holy Ghost and sanctify myself to be holy.
Okay.
Well, to stay holy.
Okay. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you for your cleansing power. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you right now for your anointing rested upon her now. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, wash her, cleanse her, make her white as snow. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, thank you for sanctifying her for your use. Thank you, Lord God, for setting her apart. In Jesus' name, thank you that she will be able to hold her own. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you as you contend, you encourage her. Thank you for the refinest fire of the Holy Ghost resting upon her right now, consuming everything that's not like you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord God, for your presence and your power in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for your anointing and endowing her right now. In the name of Jesus, you may stand strong and do what exactly you called her. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray she has the victory, Lord God. Cleanse her, make her white as snow, that she will remain in that place with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Amen. Apostle.
You're welcome. God bless you. Amen. Amen.
God bless
Amen.
You. Thank you.
You're welcome. Amen. So once again, we thank you each and every one for being on tonight. Amen. And we just thank God for what he's doing in your life. Go through this week in your life and truly make an impact wherever you are. Touch lives. Let lives be touched by you. Glory to God. People need the light that Christ is for. So we thank God for each and every one. Amen. If there will be any more questions or comments, amen. We will see you on next week. The same time, same bat channel. And glory to God. Amen. We love you all. God bless you all. Amen. Good night.
Bless you. Good night.
Good
Bye-bye.
Night.
Good night.
I'm